Grab your popcorn and snacks. Find a comfy spot, take a seat or lie down, and let me transport you to a place of fantasy, ghost stories, ancient legends, odd creatures, alien encounters, and other magical topics. You may even decide to join the conversation. From faraway lands to your own backyard, with a small dash of pixie dust, turn out the lights and open your minds. The journey is about to begin.
Good evening, everybody. How's everybody doing? Happy Friday. It's my birthday weekend. I'm a groundhog. Sunday is the big day. But I just want to make a quick announcement. My name is Charlotte. I am the owner of the California Haunts Paranormal Investigation Team. I'm also the crazy tarot card reader that you guys have been seeing on TikTok in the, every night from 7 to 10 p.m. Sometimes to 11 p.m. Pacific. Love it when you guys come in. Love it when you guys come in to watch me do my thing. It's the magic that is me. Anyway, I just make a quick announcement pertaining to that. I haven't felt good all day. So because of my birthday, I've got visitors coming back and forth. Anyway, so I'm taking tonight off. But I'll be back tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Pacific to do your tarot reads and your tarot needs. I have something really fun set up for tomorrow night, I really wanted to do. So just to let you know. So it kind of goes hand in hand. I got company coming, and then, I just don't feel well. Okay, well, let me make sure I get the right button pushed here. Is this my chat? Yeah. Anyway, tonight, of course, it's Casual Friday, and that means it's Medium Nancy Mass Friday. I switched the backdrop. There's still some tweaking to do on the backdrop, as you can see. But that took me a good 45 minutes to get this thing tweaked. It's just a weird spot that I'm in. People don't realize I'm in a closed closet doing this. I'm in a double door closet. Not like the newer closets that are really big. This is like a 1950s. Double door closet, so I have to make sure everything fits, within this. It's a great sound booth, but yeah, so I still have some tweaking to do on the backdrop. So that took all my time without me doing an intro. Nancy's with us tonight, of course. We're going to be talking about grieving folks, even in our chat at night on TikTok, we run into a lot of grieving people. How do you handle grieving people during a reading? See, so that's what we're going to be discussing tonight. But anyway, just to let you guys get a heads up, I am going to be going to Olive Garden for part of my birthday dinner celebration, but I did promise everybody that we would go to Mel's Drive-In, and we will go to Mel's Drive-In, just as promised. I don't know if it's going to be tomorrow night or maybe next weekend, but we will head over to Mel's Drive-In and go live over there. You guys can watch us eat the Chubby Checker Burger and all that good stuff, and we can have some fun, play like we're in Greece, cosplay Greece, right? Cosplay Greece. And so we'll be doing that as well. Also, we will be finishing off the Peanuts gingerbread house that we had for Christmas for Valentine's Day. So it's going to be kind of a combination of a Valentine's Christmas house. We're going to be finishing that off as well. I bought the candy for it. Poor dollar store looking at me like crazy. I had this big old bag of candy leaving. So you guys will get to choose what you want to put on that. But anyway, I just want to give you guys a heads up about that. I will be back tomorrow at 7 p.m. Pacific to redo three card readings over on TikTok. Also, Nancy did gift me, and I have to thank her profusely, with a brand new, smiling, smelly good deck of tarot cards, which are romance oracle cards. A lot of you are interested in that. Well, we're going to be doing romance night next week as well. We're going to be talking romance, and you guys are going to get to have a one card reading. A one card romance reading. Okay, for those of you guys that are wondering where things are going. So we'll be doing that as well. So we got a bunch of stuff coming up. And like I said, we're going to continue with the Lego Christmas tree because they ended up going from 2 to 3 build. So we got to build 2 more. So we're going to do that, get that done. As you guys can tell, I'm releasing Christmas videos. My Christmas tree video should be coming out now. With TikTok being banned like it was, it kind of messed up my opportunities to release videos. So we're getting caught up on all that stuff. And again, I didn't feel well this morning. I hurt my foot at the end of the year and all that. It was been a combination of stuff. Anyway, let me bring Nancy in. We'll bring Nancy in. I was just thinking about the way I do things. And if you notice, there was no intro on the show, again, because I was working on this back wall. And I always thought, like Disney, on the Disneyland rides, when one of their animatronics doesn't work, they've always got like a plan D set up. Plan B. So this is, so I got to thinking that I was more like Disney tonight because I had the plan B, you know, ready to go instead of an intro. All right, well, let me bring Nancy in. She and I can have a quick chit-chat, and away we go. And my Haunted Mansion shirt should be coming. It's supposed to be here before the 11th, so getting real close here. I'm getting really excited. I've been waiting for that Haunted Mansion shirt for a long time. Okay, here we go. Here we go. Here we go. Da-da-da.
Hi, everybody. Yes, welcome, welcome. It's Friday night, the last day of January. Hopefully no tariffs are going to be stocked to us tomorrow. Look at this. A couple of things. Happy birthday, Char. Everybody should
thank you.
Send a little note. Oh, everything's okay, hon.
No, I'm just looking. I see something on there. I just was looking.
Anyway, a lot of things happened. Thank goodness. Yeah, TikTok's going to be saved. Microsoft is buying it, last we heard. I don't know if we're going to go there. I think that between YouTube, which I'll be on, and Favored, possibly Clapper, I have to use my husband's cell phone because my phone won't let me do that. But, you know, it's getting pretty excited. I got involved with a friend, and we're writing a book together. I don't know, without both our inputs, it's going to be on ghosts and attachments, the kind that maybe we ought to think about how it affects us. And drawings, we've got about 35, 36 now, cases. Everyone is different, even an alien attachment. Oh my gosh, how does that work? Well, we'll explain that in our book. But long friendship, like with Char, we're going to be doing some video videos also, doing tarot cards. Now, we're going to start out that way, depending if we want to stay together or separate. So I'm going to have a show talking to the ghosties. And I want you to sign up at YouTube so I can find you and send notes out. We'll be talking to who's standing next to you, who greets us at death, and if your house is haunted. Now, remember, my mind works a little different than everybody's. I see pictures. And so with that, my client from Italy and I talked yesterday. And I was telling her about this show, and she just happened to say, I was talking about my friend and I doing tarot cards. About 15 years ago, I bought a bunch of tarot cards, and I love the artwork. I was an artist a century ago, 40, 50 years ago. And, of course, I'm very interested in artwork, but that wasn't the reason I bought them. It was a combination. So we're going to do that. And she said to me, that's the funniest thing. Just this past week, I was thinking you should be on, because behind the scenes, I've been involved with politics. And all this time, been saying things that everybody else said. They go, why'd you say it on the air? Well, because I can't remember names. I can visually tell you what something looks like. But if you're talking about someone in the political world, when I do readings, I don't want a last name. Just the name you're called, like a nickname or the name you're given, like Char or Charlotte. I was born with Nancy, so people call me Nancy. So it depends on what the name is. So I found that Clint Curtis is that people are asking me to do this. So it's kind of coincidental. So I'll be doing ghost and maybe tarot readings, and we haven't decided what kind of format we're just putting together. It's a lot of fun, everybody. It's going to be fun, I think. I'm looking forward to it. Finally, TikTok is settled. The computer, Char, and I are trying to figure out we're getting that settled. A couple months of havoc activity. Now, tonight's talk, and I have a lot, may have to go two times. Actually, I wrote a note to her on anger and grieving. But grieving is something we all deal with, but it's similar but not the same. So I'm going to be talking about it. If it takes 2 weeks, fine. If I just focus in on grieving, that's a heavy topic. Anger is more prevalent in our society, especially nowadays. My gosh, we're hearing fights and road rage and people yelling on TV and husbands and wives doing this all the time. Back and forth, back and forth. I have a lot of clients, people are very angry. I'm kind of surprised. Yet, I do believe that COVID started all this. And so the tumbleweed of anxiety and being closed in and, oh my gosh, the young people are having a hard time because they're closed in. Little kids in my family, one little baby, she didn't learn the correct way to speak because she wasn't going to class. So we have tutoring. We have all this extra expense in our lives to deal with all this frustration. Mm-hmm. And then I have to back up and go, it's not in my hands. All I can do is what I can do. And the rest of the story for everybody's lives has to unfold the way it's supposed to. But we don't like hearing that, especially when it comes to grieving. Oh, my gosh, my heart just went right out of my chest when I heard about the plane crash. I can't even talk about it. It makes me so upset. My father was 33 when he was killed by a drunk driver. And I remember what my mother went through. She was 29. When 9/11 happened, the same thing. It was like a heartbreak. It was like bigger than I could even handle, and I wasn't involved. Yet my family had been involved. He was only 33. My sister was 5, and I was 6. So I know firsthand what my mother went through. I was a teenager before I realized that everybody else had a father, but not me, that took care of my needs as a child. So I can get real emotional. I get real emotional.
Really quick, before I forget, because I know I'll forget, I want to thank my sister Debbie for the Olive Garden. We're going to have a good meal. It's going to be a good meal. Thank you so much for the Olive Garden and the other gift. I appreciate it. Also, I want to interject my sister Debbie. Also, I want to interject. Thank you again, Debbie. I want to interject that there has been another plane crash.
What?
Just within the last hour or so, it is a small plane that has crashed into a Philadelphia mall.
Oh, man. I haven't had the TV on. I've had the computer on off and on all day.
This year is not starting out well at all.
No. Almost can't handle one more drama. And yeah. I think that's what everybody is. It's like we hold in our breath waiting for something to happen. And that anxiety of waiting, everybody in the audience going, oh, yes, 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 I understand. Everybody jumping up and down. Well, when I do talk politics, as a couple of people I talk to besides Char, and I can almost hear them yelling, and then I pick up, oh, someone's going to call me. And it's blasting in my ear. And it's not anything that we haven't had before. It's just that we have what they call bumper crop, one thing after another. We can never recover. But I do, I don't want to go here now with this. It's going to take 2 to 3 years for us to get on a plateau where we're safe again. Right. And everybody's asked me about the weather. That's also 47, we had snow in Citrus Heights, California. If you know where that is, 400 elevation. And the year, I think it was 70 or 71. We had friends that went to get married, and we went to Tahoe, and there was 10 feet, 12 feet of snow that the plowers had to go through so we'd go up there. This is cyclable. It's just a matter of waiting it out. Are we going to go into the ice age? I'm not picking that up, but I'm picking up ice that could cause us grief. Mm-hmm. We could go on and on, but that's not the show tonight, but I will do more of this in the future because I'm having fun. Mm-hmm. And at my age, we need to have fun. I'm not even going to tell you my kids' age. You'd be embarrassed for me. But I'll be 80 in a few years. So then again, there we are. So at this time in my life, I want to share with you. And some of this I'm going to share with you tonight. Anger, and grieving. Their conditions overlap. How do we treat overlap? And there have been volumes and volumes written on anger and volumes of grieving. So I'm going to have to touch base on this lightly. It took me hours to type this up. I think there was a show we were going to do a couple weeks back, and then the computers or something happened. Oh, a storm came through. And unfortunately, that does affect the aerial. So anyway, I talked to you about sending a note to Char, and then so I spent a few minutes this afternoon after I saw what she was. Oh, it's only an grieving tonight. Well, there's going to be anger here, too, because that's how we typed it up. And I want to thank everybody for coming.
Thing really quick to add in there, too, is that the Restream is really fussy about headlines. So if the headline is too long, it won't allow me to post it, to get it to place. That's why.
Yeah.
No
apology. I know she had to type what she had to do. So because I typed angry old I got to include it a little bit. So last Monday when I wrote her the note, I had just hung up with a client the day before, and it was it was on anger, and it was toward, and I'm going to briefly go over this because there's another situation of upset and anger that we all up against. And unfortunately in families around the world, we are born to parents, but each of our children, we were met up. Well, I do believe we choose our lives. But husband and wife usually choose each other. I didn't choose your mom. Yes, you did. Well, but all three of my two sisters and I were so personality different. I talked to my sister today who had a birthday on the 29th. And I told her, I said, I've never known three people to be as different as the three of us. Every family has differences. And sometimes it's not always easy. And this woman was talking about their divorce, the child, four children, and one was a daughter. And unfortunately, the father didn't treat the boy so well, but he liked the daughter. So they had this really close bond. Very wealthy people, very entitled daughter. He showered her. So mom would look like a bad person. See, she can't do anything for you. I can do all this for you. Mm-hmm. And there is something to be said. I've had lots of clients. I have a client that saves her money. She's homeless. She lives on the street under a bridge up in Oregon somewhere. Saves her money and calls me. And then I give her all this time just because she went through the trouble of giving the card to pay me. Then I give her more time. It's amazing to me. And then I have all the way to the other end. And I'm not going to say street life is okay. I'm not going to say that. I know clients of mine who are living in cars and they're happy, happy. And on the other spectrum, I already told you this story. This young man in the 90s came to me and he didn't like his life. He was a lawyer. He went to the best schools. You know, I thought to myself, what a handsome young man, 30-ish, I guess. And he says, I don't like my life. I don't know what to do about it. I can't remember if he's married or not. I looked at him square in the eyes. I said, go jump out of an airplane. I was like, what? And he looked at me and says, can I have a parachute? I said, absolutely. And he came back and he says, I've never been so happy in my life. And it's because he stepped outside of his comfort zone. And his grieving over his life, he couldn't see outside the path he had created for himself. Mm-hmm. So we went and entertained a group of women in downtown Sacramento by the Tower Theater. And I know you girls, if you see this, oh, I know what she's talking about. And I looked at one girl, and I do this. And I said to her before I talked, I said, would you go get lost? I want you in your car. I want you to drive Route 66 as far as you feel comfortable, then come back. And the girls went, oh, shit. Oh, and they looked at the girl I was talking to. She says, I've been wanting to take a trip to Texas on Route 66, but I'm so afraid. And I says, time to buckle up, lady. I want you to do this. And she got back to me and she had a wonderful trip. She didn't get lost. She got detoured a couple times, but she wanted to tell me, and I can't remember how far she went. I think she did go almost to Texas. Excuse me. see my eyes when we think, how far she go? But it's been a while. So, Kim, if you can call me, let me know whatever happened to her, because I don't think I can give that name out. But she found value by stepping outside of her comfort zone. And that could be a whole nice talk. So we will address that. But her grieving, this is that grieving word, and this is only one side of it, because I want to finish the story about the woman and her daughter. These two people lost themselves in their grieving. They lost the windows of what they could do. They lost the excitement of being alive. Now, that's not easy to get if you're there. Do you need someone like me to help you? We're going to talk about that a little bit here. So I want to back up to the story. And this is what prompted me this topic tonight. This woman is very intuitive. Oh, she's so smart. Oh, my gosh. She's an author. And we've become good friends because I'm going to write 8 books here. I'm kind of like working on 2 now. And she was very distraught because her daughter was going through a second divorce. And she wanted the blame to be on mom for something that she wasn't involved with. It's a long story. I'll give too much and I don't want someone to know who I'm talking about. And the mother called me up. She says, I know. And I explained to her that in the process of this divorce, she went to the parent that she knew would talk to her. She didn't go to the father that showered her with money, possessions, and opportunity. She didn't want him to judge her. She didn't want him to tell her what she needed to do. She needed a soft ear, and I explained this to her. I said, you may have to listen, but you may get injured. So this is what I want you to do. I said, oops, sorry. Put my hands down. Everybody says, Nancy, keep your hand down. I'm waving in the air. If you think American cowboys and Indians is what I am, right? And the cowboys are English, Irish, and Scotch. But I'm not Italian. I don't do that. And so I keep my arms down. Anyway, getting back to the story. So she called me up. She says she wants to blame me. She wants me to tell her what to do. And she thinks, and it's a lot of money. And I says, oh, I feel bad about this. She's not getting what she wants. And I says, karma is really sweet, especially in our own lifetimes, right? And so she called me back. We went through this, how to handle it. She called me back. She says, oh, I can't sleep. This is hurting me. And I go, oh my gosh, and let's revisit this. And she says, the last time we talked, then she called back. And I could feel her assault me, push me, like, you're not telling me what I need to know. And there's nothing you can do because I told her she's going to lose her case. She isn't going to get the millions and millions from this very wealthy man because she wasn't married to him long enough. You can't do that. And so this man with all this money got the best lawyers in town, right? And what did she have? She had nothing. So she wasn't going to get her silver spoon that her daddy told her she was entitled to. And so she wanted to lash out at her mother. The audience, don't raise your hand because I'll feel you talking about it. Oh my God, Nancy. Oh, please, we've all been have stories, right? And so with that, I want to share with you that I'm very intuitive. I feel this also. And I know when someone's going to call me because I'll go get my phone. I'll stand there like this. Char, and I've done this tons of times, right, Char? It's almost spooky. Like, Nancy, damn. You're right there. Yeah, right. So she was awakened in the middle of the night, anguished, and she could feel her daughter almost smothering her with discord. I went, oh, fudge. Oh, fudge. Remember last week when this is a correlation. Last week, we were talking about the last 2 weeks of energy, vibration, identifying our family members. This is also part of our talk tonight on how we respond to love, attention. I'm going to call. She knows I'm going to call. She picks it up. It's because when we know somebody well enough, and I shared with you, the Indian peoples, we don't have a lot of body hair. Poor son. He only has squiggles on his face. He looks more Indian than I do. I had a broken nose, and so my nose doesn't even look Indian anymore. I had one of those real big ones. Not big ones, but straight ones. So my son has that beautiful straight nose. He only has a little stubble. So when I go to kiss him, like right, he knows when I'm around him. I'll kiss him and I'll feel that stubble because he doesn't shave very often. He knows my vibration. He knows my scent. He knows the gentleness of who I am because we are very much alike. We have a similar vibration. Probably when I go to touch him, as you would a child or your spouse, a partner, a lover, whatever, you have a softness to you. And someone can stand there and feel the softness of loving all around. Please kiss and love everybody in your life that's important to you over and over, because we all need this in turbulent times. Our spiritual quest for to be happy is paramount with all of us. And the best thing you could do is hug and kiss somebody. My husband's the same way in the other room. I'll think of him and he's like, or I'll just yell out. He didn't have to hear me. He just comes in here. It's because we get accustomed to each other's energies. Now, let's put somebody in the rink that's really angry. Oh my gosh, does that disturb? How about going to a restaurant and you get your food like a buffet? That's my sometimes. I haven't been to a buffet in 10 years, but I kind of like a buffet because I'm not a big eater, so I'm kind of picky. And then you go, wait a minute, I can't sit over here. Something feels really bad. Ooh, let's get out of here. Or you go to work or a meeting or a theater. Isn't that odd how you'll sweep the room with your eyes? And it's almost like you're touching everybody you look at. You are. And if their vibration is off or there's some just unknown spookiness with it, you go, oh, you recoil. That energy is paying attention to that. Because even though we could love a child, that child could also turn into, I don't like that person. I don't want to be around that vibration. So my friend, I almost said her name. Sorry, sorry. So my friend in the middle of the night, she's a client friend, she felt this smothering and she knew exactly who it was. Oh my gosh. So with a loved one child, when you get angry, you have to set up a safety net around you. I cannot think the way I cannot say what I'm actually thinking because this is my loved one. This is your child. This is your spouse, your cousin, somebody you spend a lot of time with. And I regret, I can't do anything about this. My family is very small. I have a cousin in San Diego. I have a cousin, a wee bit older, but in the mountains somewhere. That's it. I have two sisters. It's like my extended family is very tiny. I'm the oldest on my side, and my ex-husband's the oldest on his side. It's just so little. I'm envious of the different cultures that have three, four families get-togethers. And there's particularly, the Orientals and the Hispanics, the Italians. I love the idea of all that love. Wow. It seems like we've missed out on some of that. I miss out on that 30 people getting together for Christmas. Love and hug everybody. The baby's all running around. Now, you put one person in there, got arrested, or you put one person in there who's angry they didn't get the loan for their house or a loan for their car. You get somebody in there who's been fired. Okay, you know what I'm talking about. I do a lot of business for people, help business people. And it was a couple decades back, 15 years, I'll go there. Before 15 years. Yeah, because I was living in Sacramento. Anyway, I got from Pier One a blue glass cup. I got white marble, clear marbles. And then I bought a bag of black marbles, little glass bead type I'm talking about. So I got this blue cup, almost see-through, but not quite. Beautiful blue. You know how Pier One, all that beautiful glass, right? In fact, I haven't been to Pier One in some years. I think one's a Galleria shot. I'll have to think about getting down there. So then I put the clear glass in there, and I put one black one, and I put it in there. So my client comes to me, the insurance guy. He owns a tremendous amount of businesses. He's talking about this one person. Oh, and I had planned this out knowing he was going to show up. And I said, "See this beautiful glass? You can't see inside, can you? But I want to show you something." And I poured it out in all that black. All he could see was the black marble. He couldn't see all the beautiful clear ones. And I said, "That's what's happening to your business. That black marble has touched everyone in your business." He took the idea and took it to work. Cat time. So what happens is you had a great number of people. You have a small, this woman has four kids. The boys don't touch base with the woman too much because of the dynamics of life. So the woman puts all her energy on my friend. So I told her, I said, "From this point on, when you feel her energy, I want you to take a breath and realize the drama of her life lessons are being poured on her all at once. What is your role in this?" I said, "Nothing. You have nothing to do with it. You didn't get married, you didn't create this, you didn't divorce the other one. I know." He's the strong, the loudy one, loud one. Anyway, so I said, "At this point, because she will not listen to you and she's attacking you, there's a few things that I put on here, and I will go back and recapture this, but I think we're going to run out of time because it's angry first. And remember, as I say this, grieving can also be." So if the daughter had been widowed and been married 30 years, 20 years, you can apply love and just the opposite, love and compassion to it. But remember, a grieving person cannot listen either. A grieving person, as when losing a spouse, they won't hear your logic. They are not always attuned to what's best for them. Reverse it, same with anger. So we have the similar things to deal with. Sometimes when I did hospice for a while, and of course, the worst thing you do is talk. You give them a thought, but your job as a hospice is to hold their hand and agree with them and have them tell stories of their life. Have them reminisce of the most beautiful things they can think of. Keep the spirit soft. Same with grief, with the anger. No matter what my friend could have said to help her in this trauma that's going on, she couldn't hear. All she was lashing out at my friend. So I said to my friend, "In the middle of the night, when she is doing this to you, I want you to breathe and ground yourself in your own person. You know who you are. I love her. She's fabulous. And her energy is soft and giving and loving. So the best thing this woman, daughter, could do is attack the one person that won't fight her back, because she wants a little shot. She knows she's going to lose. She's angry at the world. And then I said to her, what is the most wonderful thing you can think of? And she didn't say cake or coffee, but she did say something about her garden. And I said, perfect. I want you to think of holding roses against your chest. I want roses that are the favorite color. And I want you to think of the most beautiful scent that rose can give you while she's attacking you. Okay? That's the first choice. Remember, I'm going to give you a couple different ways to think about this. And I want you to revel yourself and embrace and put your energy close to your body around the roses. Your job is to protect those roses that are protecting your heart. I want them on your chest. I want you to fold over your arms over your chest. I want those roses close to you. I want you to be encompassed with the love you have for the roses. You can't give it to your daughter because she can't hear you. Okay? This is a particularly unusual situation, but it happens to all of us. We'll wake up middle of the night and we don't know what's damaging us. So I'm going to give you an idea. I did this with somebody else. And they say, I don't like the garden. I don't like roses. I like my kitties. Perfect. Grab a kitty and put it on your chest in your mind. Grab your pet. Put it on your chest. Love the pet. Embrace the pet. And in some ways, when they can't reach you energetically to stir you up, they will back off. Week later, she done it a few times, and it really is terrible because it wakes me up. Okay, I now will step it up a little bit. Don't do this to a grieving person, okay? I want you to be an alligator. I want you to know who you are. I want you to put your hands on your chest, and I want you to say to yourself, I'm being protected by an alligator. I want some alligator to circle around your body. I want you to visualize it. And when you feel her, I want the alligator to bite her. Now you're going to say, what? Well, it's not going to be bit. It's the idea that you're going to be forceful enough to create the illusion, the healing. That person's not welcome in your space. Mm-hmm. Yes, you can use a nappy little dog. I don't care what you use, but it's got to have teeth, honey. Do a piranha for all I care. All they know, and you'll hear other metaphysicians say, oh, cut it with your scissor. Oh, ring a bell or do whatever. No, let's just go right to the meat of it. You don't want that person on you. You want them off. You have to do something forceful enough because there's such anger. They can only get it if you separate you and them. Remember, you want to ground yourself. You want to be, keep your energy to yourself. Have this alligator go around you. I want to tell you a story. So I got full stories. I've told this maybe 2 years ago, a long time ago. This lady had rented a house. It was after divorce. And she had a 3 or 4 year old at that time. And I remember her visiting me. And she was a taller, bigger girl. Powerful. Yet she was distraught, you know. And she came and had told me this story. And she was breaking almost down to crying. And I said, how's the horse going? And she said, oh, he's leaving me alone. It was one of those really stressful. In fact, it's going to be a story in one of my books. I've written it up. Her little boy came to her one day and said, don't worry, mommy. I put a dragon around our house. Daddy won't bother us. And she broke down and cried. It was amazing, amazing. And so I tried it again. And I said to somebody, another story, I said, you're in disharmony. You want protection. I want you to go to the, I'm not joking, really. Our imagination, the universe is so amazing that what we create, we co-create, we can create. And I wanted her to buy little soldiers at the toy store. We just have Walmart. We used to have stores where you could buy little toys like this. It was Sunrise Mall. They had one. Walmart or something. They had a restaurant. And at the time, I sent her there. So at the corner of each of her house, she envisioned that toy soldier becoming 2 stories tall. And she had no trouble. It's because the energy, her intent was protection. And they stayed there for as long as she, every time she thought, I need help, they were recreated. Now, how do you know that? When they talked to me, I described what I saw around her house because she hadn't told me. I said, what do you have around the house? You have these tall soldiers. And with the woman, the little boy, I described the dragon. And her son had drawn a picture of the dragon, and it looked the same. That was a cartoon dragon. It was one of the dragons that on the cartoon shows, really cute, you know, sings the song and everything. So it wasn't like harmful dragon. It was a cute dragon, and I described that. Remember, I'm visual. And so I validated and got validation. And what's important, because I did and they didn't ask me what it looked like, that gave them more protection because they put more power to it. Got it? Let's reverse that. Let's talk about grieving. People who are in grief, and I've dealt with more grief as well as anger, the surprising amount of grief, even in today's losing jobs, losing partner, losing a child. I mean, you think of it, you know. In fact, I just, not this week, but last week, I had four people coming to me who had I called on the cliff. And that's when someone has gotten to the edge of the cliff and they're standing there screaming. And I'm underneath and I go, I'll catch you. Let's talk about this. So I have a new nickname. I want everybody to use it. I'm calling myself a cliff catcher. If you're on the cliff, I'm going to catch you. Right, Char? Remember?
Right.
So we got that cliff catcher. I'll call her. And it's not necessarily what I want to do. It's what I can do. And I don't believe the universe makes mistakes. I am an instrument. And so sometimes I'm sent a particular type of situation. Where other situations I don't have, and other people do that. So here we are, cliff catcher, fourth one this past week. And so grieving can also be anger. He's going on a trip with a woman. And when we got back together, one of the best things I do not want him to do is date somebody or go out with somebody or go somewhere with somebody he's had sex with. That seems logical. Right. Well, he's going on a trip with a woman. And so, of course, he is. What's that frying pan? Didn't he check? She told me three different versions of the trip. Come to find out that his buddies that he went to college with and this woman were a clique. In our years, they called it clique, right? A group. They were all going on a trip. When I put my mind to this woman, she has already another man. She's not interested in this one's boyfriend. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not going to give you all of it, but one of the things of coming back together was trust. And so he didn't tell her initially. So we have a trust thing that they have to work out. So, but the point I was trying to show you is that in the throes of grieving a promise he broke, though it was very innocent, she was angry, but she was grieving because in her mind, the relationship was over. He broke the promise. Okay, so when you talk to somebody, I'm going to go a little further now, and if we have to come back to the rest of it, we're going to do this. Many years ago, I was in college, took marketing business, all that. Great, great. So that's not what I'm talking about. I also took Toastmasters, and I loved it. Taught you how to talk to really good people. Actually, what happened, my third line manager sent me the Toastmasters because he wanted me to do HR instead of engineering supervisor, right? And I said, I don't want HR. What's that? He says, well, I'm going to send you Toastmasters because I want you to do union grievances, layoffs, and strikes and something else. I can't remember. And I was also a facilitator when managers got together, and they were arguing with the union. And I thought, oh, my God, I can't do that. Well, what I learned from that is that sometimes you have to be quiet and witness and listen. So when I was a meeting facilitator, I applied that with the training I got 10 years earlier of being a service rep. So when you're a service rep, imagine you're calling service rep of any kind of company and you're talking to somebody and they start yelling at you. You can, even on the phone, I want you to remember this. I want you to lower your voice if someone's yelling at you. If they're standing there yelling at you, you want to lower your voice. You'd be surprised they'll watch your lips because they can't hear you. Guess what? They got to lower their voice to hear you because they're making so much noise and they don't even know it most of the time. The other thing to do is even if you're smiling in your mind, smile. Don't make it obnoxious. When you're on the phone, you go big old smile. Yeah. You go ahead. Yes, yeah. I'll listen to you. What I want you to do is distract your emotions from your intellect, from your hearing. When people are angry, they don't tell you the whole story. So when the little lady called me, and I appreciate, brilliant young woman, I see her creating an amazing company in the future. Whether it's this man or somebody else, the results are the same. I said, you're going to win the lotto. This is going to be wonderful. But she was so hurt that the anger masked continuity of a conversation. So I want you to train yourself to listen to people invisibly and pretend they're invisible and all you're hearing is the words. And sometimes when you listen to words, they're not the grammar's bad, but they're not telling the whole story. You have to ask. And being clear-minded and allowing somebody to be angry or someone who's grieving and say to yourself, I know they have a message for me. They're trying to tell me something. I've got to listen carefully. When someone's grieving, it's not like you're going to do so much, but that you're paying attention is important. When it's angry, you listen and you catch them at the words to repeat, define, and clarify why they're mad. Similar but different. Got it? So you may have to go back and get a transcript for this, everybody. Can you tell I have dealt with a lot of angry people and grief people? Are we losing time, honey? Okay. So I'm trying to get to this, all this story. So at the end of the lady with the boyfriend, it was very clear that she still loved him because I sensed love. And everybody in the room was going to be a reader. You can tap me. You can see the picture or hear me on the phone. I got her to understand that she didn't want to give in and say, oh, it's okay that you betrayed me. I got that. But I wanted her to reword a conversation softly to get him to admit that he did wrong by not being honest. So it's actually an honesty thing, okay? It's because when I tap into him, tap into her, they love each other. And it's deep. But she had principles we had to stand by. So she didn't want to tell me everything. Like, well, no, we had no boyfriend. There'd be nothing going on. It was the idea of breaking a promise. But I had to listen to her. And I had to capture something she'd say. I said, wait a minute. I want you to repeat that. I want you to tell me what's really happening. You have to stop it with a clarity of voice that gets her attention. I want to share something with you. When you're in an argument with somebody, if you lose control, if you get angry back, you must just walk away from each other. That's none of you. Either none of you. Whoever is in the group, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, no one's going to win. And it will be unresolved. So one of you has to have clarity. And slowing down the conversation, lowering your voice, smile in your mind as in, I'm going to fix this. I'm going to listen because a lot of words are not being said. I'm going to stop the conversation and say, would you repeat that? What's really happening? Oh, you're so angry. I'm so sorry. Let me help you think this through. That's the best you can do. Grieving. There's not much I can do and help you with this, but I am a good listener. And if you want input, I'm here. I'm here. And sometimes you catch them. There was a lady I read a while back, and she came crying to me. And she was older. She was my mother's age at the time. Mid-90s, I think. Late 90s. And she was going, oh, my man cheated on me. He's with another woman. He just dropped me. Both. She was crying, grieving, angry all at once. And I said, well, just for clarity, let me just write his name down. And just to give me a feel, why don't you tell me how long has it been? A week, 2 weeks, a month, 2 months, 3 months? 17 and a half years. I said, wait a minute. You're telling me that 17 and a half years ago, he cheated on you and you're still grieving and crying? I didn't say it like that. It was very good. I want to catch my breath, Nancy. Say that in your head. Don't say it in front of her. And I said, there is more to the story than what you're telling me. It's been 17 and a half years. What has stopped you from not thinking about him? When you're laying in bed at night, what are you thinking? Unsettled conversations. Unsettled. And the best way to do that is to listen to that conversation that she and her got with him. And when you hear it, then you say, I think you're right. It is unsettled. But I want to tell you something. You can think of unsettled conversation and think that you should have said this or that. But I 100% guarantee you that other person not lay in bed thinking the same thing. You're giving him your energy and your tears. It's not that he doesn't deserve it. It's that this situation may not get settled. You cannot call him up. Mm-hmm. What you could do is get a photograph, put it on your table, and talk to the photograph. And say you're sorry, or you wish you had said. At this point, it's kind of late, right? I wish you'd come to me 17 years ago. But we can get so broken with grief and anger, it can stop us from taking the next step forward. I don't think there's a person alive that hasn't laid in bed and said, I wish I'd said something different, including me. And what I do is I enter time, I go back and re-envision the whole situation and put myself in a living moment then, years back if it has to be. And in that moment, after you said something stupid, I wish you hadn't, I want you to think to yourself and say in that moment, I'm sorry, or please forgive me. You may not know it, but at the invisible domino effect of that, I'm sorry, I wish I hadn't said that, that mm-hmm. individual will feel it. Remember how many times I told you, the universe is so amazing, we have quantum things going on in our mind and our body. We do not live in our brain. We are living outside of our body. We're just a shell. And for me to be able to have clients around the world, even by email in Singapore, I've been doing this for 33 years. I'm doing something right, everybody, right? Mm-hmm. And it made me think every day, how is it that our brain works? And I do believe that when you tell me you want me to enter time and go to a situation and see something, I can do that. It's not in your brain. You know how I know that? Just recently, I think I mentioned this last week. I did mention it. A lady comes to me and wants to talk about her mother. Her mother shows up and says, I'm wearing a dress. Look at this dress. And she describes it or tells them, oh, that's my mom, but she doesn't wear dresses. My auntie, you are wrong, wrong, wrong. Well, guess what? She had an older sister. She went home and asked the sister about a dress. Oh, didn't mom ever tell you she bought a dress to go see Elvis Presley? And it was white with little tiny flowers all over it. The ball ring. I got a call from that woman. What that taught me is that people like myself enter time somewhere and can go back generations of which you will not know. Okay, it's the other one, and I found the book. I'm going to have to get it out. I don't know what I'm going to do with it. A gentleman from England called. He's doing a genealogy. And he's looking at 1800s, and he gave me a situation. And he says, would you go back and find where this person lived? I says, okay, the town that you're talking about where they did live, go south on this big boulevard, and then the fourth exit to the right is a small town, and he lived there. Go to the main boulevard and then go like down the street, and the word textile is shown to me. Well, guess what? He had a relative that lived there and worked textiles. How dumb. At that moment, and that's been some years, so if you are listening, please give me a call. And I have the book he had. I will look for it. You have to do this. He put it in a real book. He autographed the front of it through your efforts. I was able to finish my family genealogy. And there was it in a big book. You know, like, wow, with a manila color, you know, big book. I felt wonderful. And I remember thinking, I'm not insane. I'm actually doing this. I'm leaving my body. I'm entering time. Oh, fudge. So guess where I went? I went to England, late 1800s. And I got more. By the way, anybody listen to this Jack River story life? I got more information. I put myself in that town. I can actually go there now. So someone's been to get into my memories, everybody. You can see me walking around. I'm in the neighborhood right now. I'm looking around. I never thought of smelling. Someone's cooking pork or something. But anyway, excuse me why I smell that. That smelled really good. I'm sorry. But at the same time, when we get to learn this, it gives us new avenues of how to look at grieving, how to look at anger. Because this is so amazing, you know that the story life of each of us has already been created. You're here to accelerate, to accentuate their living experience. If it's a negative karma, like the daughter, they have to experience this, but you have to protect yourself. The best you could do is with grieving is to be a listener. And for those who are losing people in their lives, especially the older people. Make sure you interview them. Get your phone out, especially nowadays on phones. When my mother passed away, we had these little phones, you know, like, couldn't do anything, right? But I had a cassette recorder, and I had hours of talking with her, interviewed her at the restaurant. And we lose our memories of the voices. So I encourage everybody, please record their voices if they can. And grieving as a child, hearing someone's voice and the memories of the pictures I have around the house, that helps grieving, because I don't know that we ever lose. And I told you this last week of grieving, or last time, that my grandmother, who I started taking care of in summer of 72, we went to the bank, and she had the manager come over. She was setting up a new account for San Diego stuff, you know. And she said to the manager, you know, I've just lost my son. And she really got soft and emotional. She was very much a feminine woman. She's the one that was a silent screen movie star. I always wonder how much acting he was doing with me. In fact, that's one of the books I'm going to do. Every page, she has have hundreds of pictures of her on stage. And so each page will be a black and white faded of the stage production she was in, movies. In those years, they called serials, just like Dallas or some of those serials that are on for years. She was part of some of that down there. And she was very beautiful and small. And so she was always the bad girl. Like, I can't remember, Joan Caldwell, she was always the bad girl. She was the cutest one on the set at that time. But anyway, she wants poems done to her son. Well, he was killed by a drunk driver in April of 55. And he didn't, the manager of the store didn't know that. And he gave her all this loving and attention because she was still grieving her son, who was killed in 55 and 72. You don't get over this. I'm not expecting someone comes to me and says, I'm grieving over this. I said, we have to re-identify grieving. We have to allow it to be part of our personage. We have to allow it to be part of our storyline. No, I wouldn't. It's rather odd, too, because my mother lost her father when she was 12. My father lost his father very early in life also. Now, I remember my father was still 33, and his father had been gone at least 10 years. And so I have generational of men missing in my family. So when my first husband got to be 33, and my daughter's son-in-law got to be 33, it really riveted me how lucky the family was to have these people in their life. I remember telling my ex-husband at the time, I said, don't let anything happen to you. And guess what? The next year or two, he went from a town of the river in Folsom, did an inner tube run with a buddy, never showed up. So we had the police go out and try to find him, and they had crashed on the shoreline. It was like midnight before they found him. And when they found him and brought him to us, the wives, I almost wanted to deck him. I was so angry for being callous and being stupid instead of grieving like he. I was so angry, but I was grieving angry because the thing I thought about the most is that my kids would not have a father growing up. The grieving from my mother and losing my dad intercepted me when my husband at that time, Larry, also had that too. You know how funny it is. And I apologize. What's the river going down? You're on Watt Avenue, you go over the bridge, Highway 50. What's that river called there?
Is that the American River, yeah.
American River. Well, if you go up to the mountains, 50, oh, wait, go up there. There's a lot of rafters that go through there, but it was way up there. I can't remember. I don't travel to 50, Cameron Park. Holly climbs up in that direction. I don't know where the river is even. But he got lost up there. And so when they crashed, they couldn't get back on the river when it got dark. So they started walking, and the police had to find him. And that long ago grieving for me surfaced and drowned out and turned into anger at that time. So I clearly know what it feels like. I had generational anger and grieving, as with the grandmother who lost my father. So I wanted to, we started 10 minutes late, but we got to finish up. I think maybe this deserves a second night, everybody. Yeah. I have a lot of tools for you to Absolutely. Be able to get anger. Okay. And I hope you enjoyed it tonight. Absolutely. It's a very big topic. Very big topic. But also, I want to add, for you kids that are learning to be readers, this kind of information I'm giving you can't find in books. And you can if you read a lot. And I do read a lot. But sometimes it's full of hard knocks when you have to deal with people and you have to learn. And I took hospice. I've read books on anger management, everything. And some of the best books in the world really are not feet on the ground lessons. Sometimes you have to put your feet on the ground. You have to be. And when you have a client scream and yell at you on the phone, you better keep your cool. Mm-hmm. So we're going to talk about that next time. Okay, Char.
How do people find you?
Oh, I'm sorry. My name is Nancy Matz, and that's my website, nancymatz.com. And it was at one time my original. I'm going to have to hire somebody. If anybody does web design or something, I'm moving it from one place to GoDaddy, where my second website is, and it's called Nancy Matz Author. So I want to migrate these two together. So Nancy Matz has all my history, my pledge to God to do this, my ministry, the books I've written so far, how to sign up if you want to talk to me. Okay, so the other side, I'd like to invite you to sign up so I can find you if you want to know, talking to ghosties, is Nancy Matz Psychic at YouTube. As far as a favorite or clapper, I think Char and I are kind of working that out now. Where we're going to also be, because I'm going to do three different platforms.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Have fun, right?
Okay, well, videos. Again, I will not be on at 7 p.m. Pacific doing readings. Something's come up, so I will be back tomorrow. If you guys want to do Breakfast with the Ghost Hunter, 11 a.m. Pacific, come on over to TikTok and Clapper, and I'll be doing Breakfast with the Ghost Hunter, 11 a.m. Pacific, and then back at 7 p.m. Pacific tomorrow night to do free readings over on TikTok and Clapper, okay? So just to let you guys know, and again, I want to thank my sister and brother-in-law, Roger, for the gifts. I appreciate it. Nancy, you too. I could hear, like last night when I showed it off, I could hear a collective, ooh. So
I thought you would like that.
We'll be using that. We'll be using that.
You got three distinct theses to work with. I love it.
Yeah.
And she's having really so much fun. All these years she's got intuitive abilities. I'm thinking, what's wrong with this girl? Get her on the...
Get on with it, yeah. All right, well, I'll see you guys tomorrow, 11 a.m. Pacific. And thank you so much. Thank you, everybody, so much. And Nancy, thank you as always. Always, yeah, always, always.
So, all right, everybody. I love busy with you tonight.
Yep. We're going to sign off and have a good one, everybody. Mm-hmm.